Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart. God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He loves us and he's always ready to guide us to do greater things in him. You know, like I said in the other broadcast, it's not about the work. The work is a byproduct of the relationship. And the relationship is possible because of redemption, salvation. You know, when the apostles, when they were disciples, they found out that the enemy was subject to them. They were so happy, and they were rejoicing in Luke chapter 10. Lord, the devils are subject to us. They run when we command them. Jesus said, "Don't rejoice because you have authority over Satan. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven." And the Lord is foundational. I always say that. It's just been on me lately to teach that he's foundational. Many people are looking for the crowds. They're looking for for greatness. They're looking for, they believe in the ministry as it grows greater, and so do other people. When you pass by a church and you see thousands of cars out there, people are looking for what is great, which is a byproduct. If it's done right, it's a byproduct of first love faithfulness. It's not what we build, it's how we build. If we build on first love faithfulness, we do these things because we love God. Every time you do something for the Lord, whether you suffer for him or whether you do his will and pull off great things, it's the most rewarding feeling you can have when you obey him because of your first love. Nobody can stop a person when they're in first love mode. They don't have a stop button. Everything they do is intended to be a blessing to the Lord. Their whole life is worship. And that's how they see it. That's how they feel. They take positions of love and grace. They're eager to be kind. They're eager to speak a word in due season. They're apt to teach. And then, you know, if you make mistakes, you're eager to learn how to do better next time. All this comes from that first love faithfulness. You were so happy that God saved you and protected you. You live forever. You appreciate it. But when people drift into the world, they forget that first love. Because the love of the world steals it from them. The cares of this world and the lust of other things entering in, it chokes the word. And the person gives credibility to the wiles of the devil more than the grace of God. And that's when they start feeling burnt out. That's when they start feeling used up. That's when they stop believing in what they're doing, because they left the first love. But we're going to go forward and do things the right way. We've been studying how the interaction of the seven spirits of God working through Jesus as he gave instructions to John concerning the seven churches when John was trapped and in prison on the Isle of Patmos. See, you can prison a man, but you can't keep the gospel in prison. John found a way to get his writings to those churches. And the Lord showed him how to do it. He believed God. Jesus gave him the revelation. And he believed God to get it to where it had to go. They tried to boil John in oil, but he wouldn't die. See, when God give you a mission, speak life. I know that there's a devil out there. I said, Satan, you'll never kill me and I will never die by your hand. I will never die by your people. See, sometimes people didn't know they could do this. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Jesus had John to write to the churches, tell them that some of them were going to be cast in prison in the church in Smyrna. See, if people don't know who they are in Christ, that can be possible. And even if you know who you are in Christ, sometimes some people are going to die to try others. Some Christians are going to get killed by the enemy because it's going to be to try other Christians. We all have our own purpose and destiny. Now, I recommend protecting the work of God in you. The work that God has given you to do. We all don't have to die as martyrs. And I'm not afraid to die, period. Preaching the gospel is warfare. You know, war people can get killed. And I know this. That's why I say, Satan, you can't do this. You can't kill me. He wants to, but he can't. He tried to, and he couldn't. And before I knew to pray that way or to take authority that way, the Lord told me, he said, I've given you your life. And he showed me nobody can take it, but I confess it. Because the work that God gives us to do is important. The time it took for the Lord to prepare me to do what I'm doing now took a very long time. It took decades. And you know, I wanted to do what I'm doing now way back then, but there were principles I had to learn. The Lord had to build a foundation for me to do what I do. And I understand it. He's talked to me about the details of this ministry and how it works and why he does it the way he has a reason for every piece of it. But I'm going to make sure I live and stay healthy so I can do it. Because I don't like Satan and I hate his works against humanity. And I want to make sure that people know how to stand. He said, let not my people lack knowledge. And that's one of my assignments. And that's fully what I intend to do. I'm not going to let people lack knowledge. Because how? First of all, I lived life. My first love, I'll carry it wherever I go. First love, faithfulness, truthfulness. And then I'll speak his word in faith. And I'll do what he say do. And it will work. It will work good. I'm not afraid of failure. How can I fail obeying God? Those that love God will follow him. And I know this. The Lord, he trusts us. Last night he was giving me revelation about trust. Now I was reading a writing that Ray Wilson wrote. He, real good man of God. He from Sunday school. That's my brother. And I made mention that I'm believing God to teach me more about prosperity. And he wrote some points down, shared with me things he's doing the same thing. He's been praying about how to prosper. So you can live. There's a way to live better. You just have to ask the Lord. The Lord has prospered me before, but I wanted to know more about it. Just like when I want to know how to love his people. I want to know how to destroy temptation and lust and things like that. And the Lord always taught me more than, you know, as I asked him, he taught me more. Well, I said, well, he's prospered me before and I want to know how to prosper so that I can live even better. And I want to prosper God's way. And I'm learning things about prosperity. And some of it is kind of surprising. One thing is, the Lord doesn't want money from people unless they love him. He said, when you give, if you have something against your brother, anything against your brother, See, the word ought means anything. Leave it at the altar and go and make peace with your brother and then come back and present it to God. And you know, sometimes people, they pay tithes in anger. They're offended at somebody and they pay tithes anyway. If you want God to receive it, be at peace with his people. Don't hold strife against anybody. Do what's right. It's very important. Those things can, we have to trust God on these things. Everything Jesus taught, we're responsible for it. And he taught about trust. And God, I noticed last night that God trusts us. Jesus left his disciples in charge. And he did it by the order of God. He trusted us. Then the Holy Spirit was sent to guide us in all truth. And the Lord trusted us with the Holy Spirit. Do you realize if the Lord trusts you to receive and be guided by the Holy Spirit, we should do exactly that? If we have access to all knowledge within us, at the time he gave it, that had never been done before. The Holy Spirit will be upon people, but not inside them. Bearing the 9 fruits of the Spirit. We need him in us. And every believer has the Holy Spirit on the inside. And then he will come upon us when we praise and worship God so we can do the works of the ministry. He will anoint us so we can do it like God would do it. See, the anointing it's a sanction that gives you God's ability. It's given to mature people, men and women. It doesn't mean you have to be old. You can be the age of a child, but you do have to be mature. Now, we're going to take a greater look at what Jesus said to the church at Smyrna, because he wants us to know him. When he taught me principles about trust. And I was in a previous broadcast, I heard myself say something, and I was under the anointing. I said, trust is a noun. And I never talked to the Lord about this. So recently I asked the Lord about things like whether it was a noun or not. Because when you say things about the Holy Spirit, sometimes it'll surprise you. But when I want to stay on track. The Lord, the words say, try the Spirit. I asked the Lord more about it. And he gave me greater insight. And that's why I see faith and trust in a much greater way. Trust, he showed me this by the focus. Faith looks to man, faith looks to God presently. When you believe in God something, faith is always present. It knows that a greater future is coming because it puts a demand on the promise of God now. And then it's like current, it stays put. It's a fixed thing. It starts now. Every moment, it's now. I'm still believing God now. Even in the future, when the future becomes the present, you're still believing God now. And you're still cooperating, you're still working toward whatever your request or whatever you're believing God for. You're still, it's on. Your faith is always on. And doubt, you blockade doubt out of your heart. And doubt is a choice. You just have to choose to drive it away. He said, if you believe and doubt not in your heart, he said it like you can do it. All right. And then when you speak the word in faith, it's got to happen. It's a done deal in heaven. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Now, trust is different. Trust is looking to the future from the past position. The last time the Lord told you to do something, you did it by your faith and it worked. Now he's telling you to do something something new. It's new to you. It's different. You don't know how to expect it. You don't know how it's going to work. But you trust in God. So because you're trusting God, you're acting on your faith. And you trust him because in the past he was faithful. And you expect him to be faithful in the future. And so he put it this way. Faith is a verb. Trust is a noun. And I went to get something to eat at Jim Dimmer's last night. I was just meditating on this. How the faith is a noun. I mean, faith is a verb and trust is a noun. And then he showed me this. He said, trust is the noun form of faith. And faith is the verb form of trust. Faith, because you trust God, you act on your faith. Because you trust God, you act on your faith. And it's possible to have faith in God without trusting God. And we trust God because he was faithful in our past. Now, faith suggests that God is faithful now. Trust expects that God is faithful in the future from the past position. And that's exactly what the Lord was teaching me. That's the revelation that came. And it fits so perfect. It didn't say the just shall live by his trust, because trust is an expectation. It's a belief, but faith is an active belief. The just shall live by his faith. And your faith is secure in your trust. And what comes out the trust, finished faith becomes knowledge, finished trust becomes vision. Vision is a graduated form of trust. You can see the whole thing happening. But the thing that brings vision has to be brought to life by faith. Vision can help you have hope so that you can use your faith. Faith is the active part of belief. Now, with all that in mind, we're going to look at the book of Smyrna. The church at Smyrna. Now, we covered most of this. I'm going to go back and reiterate. Verse 8. Unto the angel of the church of Smyrna, in Smyrna, write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Now these people knew a lie from the truth. They knew they had enough light in them to detect a lie. Verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Then he said this, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. The first thing he said in verse 10 was, fear none of these things. Now, they heard the word of God. They saw the apostles. I'm sure that they heard that Paul got cast into prison because Smyrna was a Gentile city. Now, if a leader gets put in jail, what happens to your expectation? When Paul got arrested in Jerusalem, they'll eventually find out about it. Because of travel and trade, people are going to talk. Anytime something big happens, people talk about it. It becomes news. They expected this can happen to me if it happened to Paul. Now, and even when he was in the Gentile cities, he would get thrown in jail. But then there'd be a great, it'd be a great outpouring or a great revival or a great people to start coming to the Lord. The whole prison got saved, because when the earthquake happened and all the prison doors were open, nobody left their cell. And they heard Paul praising God all night. They just stayed in jail. And you know, this tells me that they were changed. A prisoner don't stay in jail if they can get away. Something happened. They stayed in jail at their own will. They feared God. Even if they didn't get saved, they feared God. A change was made. Things were happening. because Paul had God's ability to preach to the Gentiles. His anointing was not designed for the Jews in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, he had to do whatever he did by his faith. But the Lord kept him alive. Now, and he wasn't afraid. You can't overcome Satan with fear. Fear, Satan is attached to it. If you fear at all, Satan's attached to that fear. It's like a string attached to Satan. Fear is like a string attached to Satan. He's involved. And I had to learn this in business. I kept using my faith, but I wasn't prospering like I wanted to in business. And I kept having similar problems, and they weren't going away. I was praying about these things. And I always ask the Lord about things. If it's not going right, why? What am I missing? Yeah, that's all right. You don't know everything. We know in part. Now, when I was tempted by Satan, you know, he was trying to tempt me to lust after women, and he was always trying to tempt me. I had to fight it all the time. And I said, Lord, I want to kill this problem. I don't want this. And I don't want to, that's not the man I'm going to be. I want to be like Jesus. I want to see women like you do. And he would stir them up and they chased me. I didn't chase them. I couldn't, that was a season I couldn't go nowhere without this problem. Just like I said in another broadcast. And the Lord has taught me to love them. Now that sounds weird, but I love them as a sister, as God's daughter. I saw my love towards them helped me to understand them better and see them different. But I still felt tempted until the Lord said, "Don't feel fallen." Satan still had an attachment to the problem, because I feared that I would fall. And when the Lord said, "Don't fear falling," that cut the string. I didn't feel tempted like I used to. It even amazed me. I said, "This is weird." I said, "Who would believe this?" It didn't matter how they looked. It didn't bother me no more. I said, "One day I'm going to get to teach this." I said, "People wouldn't even, they'd think I'm crazy if I told them now." At that time. And I really didn't even know how to explain it, because I didn't know that how fear worked. I just learned that. I just figured that out about a year or so ago. But when he said, "Don't fear falling," it just worked. It worked. I was glad it worked. But when you kill fear, even in a marriage, if you got fear in the marriage, fear of something evil happening, it could be death, it could be your spouse cheating, if you fear that they're not going to like you anymore, all those things attach Satan. Kill the fear. You kill the strife, you kill all the problems that follow it. It said every evil work follows envy and strife. So what about fear? Fear is a driver. All right, now they're already captured, but if they don't fear it, they can get out of it. They're gonna find out that Satan is not as bad as he's not as dangerous as he make himself look. He doesn't have any power, none. All of his power is based on deception. You got to believe he has power, and you have to fear it in order for his power to work against you so he can kill you. All they had to do is tell Satan that he can't kill him in faith, with no doubt. They already had the promise on it. All they had to do is take God at his word. The training of the apostles. And by that time, I'm sure they talked about it. But nevertheless, sometimes when people hear the word, they don't measure it big enough in that case. I did the same thing. Chris Lucas told me about authority back in 1983 when I first got saved. And I knew that I had authority, and I used it. When Kenneth Hagin talked about it, he talked about it from a ministry standpoint and the revelation that God gave him. And I measured it greater. So when the gunfight started happening when I lived in Kingston, in the Kingston area, in Woodlawn, I saw every gunfight. Every time I heard the guns, I would tell Satan, he can't kill anybody, can't hurt anybody in Jesus' name. And I would intercede for my neighborhood and my neighbors. Some of them were drug dealers, and they always had a problem going. And they had all kind of weapons. I heard automatic weapons. But nobody ever got killed in those days. So you can stop Satan. But they didn't know this. So the beginning of this is, fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful to death, and I will give thee a crown of life. They're going to have tribulation for a week and a half. It's not going to last forever. But that was the plot. Now the Lord have warned me about plots that Satan had against me. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's just the way it is. We're not under Satan's foot. That's a lie. He's under our foot if we put him there. That's the truth. By our faith, by our love, we can solve many problems. You can kill. I kill lust through love. My love stayed intact. And the lust of other things entering in, I fought it with love. And I finished it with killing fear. The Lord told the Israelites to drive out the Canaanites. The things of Satan is just like, that's the same thing that the Canaanites were. They have to be driven away. If you have faith and doubt not in your heart, you drive it away. Fear can't be there if you don't let it be there. He said, fear not, in verse 10. Choose no fear. That detaches Satan. The things you fear will come upon you. And this attack possibly was caused because of their fear that they had in the first place. No matter how it looked, don't fear him. Satan's just a liar, a deceiver. You have to trust his deception to be a victim of it. But if you don't fear it, demons will run from you. You're subject to God. You resist the devil, he flees. That's why in a courtroom situation, when they bring you before the judges, Jesus said, don't speak the words I give you. And they already knew to speak whatever he gave them in faith. Every time they tried to trap Jesus, he would speak words and they couldn't handle it. They left. They fled. They fled because the demons fled. The Pharisees, they stopped asking him questions because those demons couldn't answer it. And remember, Jesus did this as a man. He spoke the words of God. And they always fled. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Satan will try us, but he's defeated. This is a warfare. I believe that I'm going to live to Jesus till I finish my course. And I'll probably get raptured doing this work. That's what I believe. But I still have life insurance because this is a warfare. But you take countermeasures. If you're a policeman, you wear a bulletproof vest. If you're a Christian, you dress yourself with the weapons of warfare and the shield of faith. You carry that with you wherever you go. You don't let your guards down. And I'm a priest as well as a king, so I pray over my people. I pray for my children, my wife, my sisters, their children. my friends, the people I'm around every day. If I hear of anybody get sick, my first response is to pray for them and pray the prayer of faith while it's fresh on my mind. He said, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful to death, and I will give you a crown of life. Now watch what he's saying. Now this shows that it goes to all the generations. See, this was the second stage church. He said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So it's important to take God at his word. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. Next time we'll go to Pergamos. But the next time, remember, I love you. God loves you, and Jesus truly is our Lord.